So Pentecost gives us reason to celebrate and reason to rejoice. We remember the fulfillment of Jesus' promise to send the Holy Spirit. And today in our services, wherever you may have been, then it's very likely that you would have heard that reading from Acts and heard again the story and the way that the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, the flames and the wind and the speaking in tongues, the amazed onlookers, followed by the first great gospel message in the early church when Peter the Apostle stood up and proclaimed, "This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. The difference between a vision and a dream: a vision is something you have when you're awake. A dream is something you have when you're asleep. The young men are generally awake. The old men are generally asleep. That's how that works. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. And the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And isn't that our prayer? For people to call on the name of the Lord, to know Him, to be saved by Him, to find that wonderful fullness of life that only can be found in Christ. This is the good news. Salvation has come. Salvation has come. Now I have a radio with me. All going well. That'll work. So, we know what it's like when we have our radio and we want to hear what's on it. There are a number of things we need. We need some power, and that's a wee bit iffy at the moment. But we also need to tune it in. Ooh.
If it's not tuned in, you can't hear it.
Oh, that sounds important. You know, the Holy Spirit is all around us, ever present, ever near. But sometimes we're just not tuned in. Sometimes there are things in our lives and we need, in a sense, to get tuned in. On a new radio, you might just push a button and it will automatically seek a strong signal. But how do we tune in to the Holy Spirit? The Apostle Paul said, "Since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step. Let's keep in step with the Spirit." And he also said, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." But here's a problem, I think. At different times in our lives, the tuning gets knocked, and we're no longer really in tune with the Spirit. The Spirit is there, but we're not properly tuned in. Our sin, our selfish choices, our wayward acts, they can grieve the Holy Spirit. And grieving the Holy Spirit is sort of knocking things out of tune. When we do that, we're not so sensitive to the Spirit. We're no longer really listening to the Spirit. We're no longer clearly receiving direction and guiding from the Holy Spirit. But the act of repentance is like getting that tuning knob and starting to get closer again to God. as we turn from our sin, from our wrongdoing. That's again to tune in to the Spirit, to be sensitive again to God's leading. When we act in bitterness and rage and anger, you know those things put you out of step with God. How can you be sensitive to what God wants if you're allowing those sort of things to flourish in your life? But when you are kind and compassionate, well, when we tune in, those things are more easy for us. They come to us more readily. And when we're involved in things in that way, that helps us to stay in tune with the Spirit. And so I want to ask you tonight, are you in tune? Are you in tune with the Spirit? When you look back over the last few days of your life, have your attitudes and your actions been those that help you to be in tune with the Spirit, or have they knocked you out of tune with the Spirit? And I simply invite you, be honest with yourself. You don't have to tell anyone else about that. But you know where you are, and God knows where you are. The places that you have been to. What you have been looking at in the internet. The books that you read. Do these help you to stay in tune with the Holy Spirit? Can you imagine the Holy Spirit sitting through the movie you have just watched? Or would he have to excuse himself and reluctantly leave you? And before he leaves, when he has tugged at your conscience and said, you put down that book, turn that program off, leave this place where you're being tempted, have you listened? Or has it been more convenient for you to tune him out? When I was 10 years old, my parents gave me this big old clunky valve radio. Even then, it was old-fashioned. It had a big knob at the front of it to tune in. It could pick up on lots of different frequencies, and if the atmospheric conditions were right, I could even pick up stations from Australia. It had a special feature that really interested me. I was about 10 at the time, 9 or 10 at the time. And this thing was called a magic eye. And as you tuned into the radio station, the light started to glow. And the closer you got to the stronger signal, the brighter it would be. And then when you started to move away from that tuning, the light would fade again. And I think there's a parallel with the Holy Spirit. The more we live by the Spirit, the more we keep in step with the Spirit, the more we are in tune with the Spirit, the brighter the light of Christ is able to shine within us. We are stronger and clearer, a brighter witness to the truth of Jesus when we keep in step with the Spirit. Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me. And this is what I mean by that light shining. Because when the Holy Spirit is moving in our lives, it brings glory. It brings that light of glory to Christ. It allows us to shine more brightly. He will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus, and the light of that glory shines more brightly in the ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit when we allow that to be in our lives in tune. Paul speaks of us as shining like stars. And the truth of God can shine in us when we are close to him, when we are close to his Spirit. Acts of love and acts of kindness inspired by the Holy Spirit will shine and will speak to others of God's presence. So how brightly are you shining? And does the light within you indicate that you're in tune with the Spirit? Or away from the Spirit? Recently I had a new hard drive installed in my computer. That meant I had to reinstall some programs. And many of you will have had experience of this, downloading apps or programs, whatever it is, on your computer or your tablet. You go to the website and you click to download, and it downloads all this stuff. And then you get a message that says something like, This wants to access your computer. And it wants to change your settings. Will you allow or will you cancel? Allow or cancel? Now that's just something random I got off the internet. Don't go bombarding that person's email address with your requests. But you get this choice. The package is there. It's all ready to go. All you've got to do now is press allow. In some ways, the Holy Spirit is like this computer download. When you become a Christian, you get the whole package. And if you allow the Holy Spirit to have access, He will change your life. He will change the inner settings of your life. He will change the default settings. He will work with you over time. The problem with some Christians is that we want to have the benefits of Christianity, but we're reluctant to press allow change because we don't want the change in our lives. We just want the benefits of forgiveness. It's like the tension we face when we're happy for Jesus to be our Savior, but reluctant to allow Him to be our Lord. The benefits. We want the forgiveness of sin, the peace with God. But will we allow Him to change us? And even after we press allow, the Holy Spirit begins the work. He doesn't seem to change everything at once. And those of us who have been walking with the Lord for some time know that He doesn't do everything all at the beginning, but He works within us consistently and constantly to bring spiritual change in our lives. Traditionally, we call this sanctification, the process by which the Holy Spirit works within us to make us holy and Christ-like. And while we receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit when we come to faith, it almost seems as if from time to time there's another update and we're given a chance to press allow change or cancel. Perhaps when you first come to faith, God deals with a lot of stuff in your life. But maybe He doesn't deal with perhaps the language you use in your workplace. Maybe He just allows that to go on for a little while. And then later He comes to you and says, now, here is something else in your life that needs to be dealt with. Allow or cancel? And what will we do? Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's a habit that we have. And God begins to work and convict us of it. Allow or cancel? Well, only you know what the Holy Spirit has been convicting you about in recent days. And so you just fill in the gap for yourself. What needs to be changed? What does He want to work on? Is it an attitude, an action, a behavior, a character trait, a habit, something you've neglected? People you've used or hurt and you need to change that? The Holy Spirit is at work and wanting you to change. Will you allow? Will you allow the Holy Spirit to do that work in your life? Will you cooperate with the Holy Spirit or will you press cancel and hold on to your sin, whatever it may be? One of my strongest childhood memories was being in a rowboat with my dad. In fact, Mum and Dad had taken my brother and I to this seaside town. I would have been about 5 years old at the time, maybe six. And they hired a rowboat. With Dad on the oars, we went out into the harbour. I'd never done anything like that before in my life. And so it just stuck with me. And I could look down through the crystal clear water and I could see the seabed, and it was getting deeper as we went further out. I was really disappointed I didn't see any fish. That's what I thought I would see when I looked down towards the seabed. What I saw was an old rubber tire that someone had thrown out there somehow. I recently read that Christian life is like being in a rowboat. We use our own strength and effort to power the boat through the water. I remember the first time I went to the gym, 15 or 20 years ago. And so the instructor was putting me through my paces, showing me how all the equipment worked. It all went really well until we got to the end. There was one last thing to do. It was the cool down. It was supposed to be easier. And it was relatively easy. I was on the shrying machine. It was set on about 3. That was about my place. And I was rying away. And then just to be really helpful, the instructor said to me, you know, if you want to work harder, you can move that knob up. And he did, to about 7. And that got really, really hard. But I wasn't going to give in. I kept on going, as if nothing had happened. But what happened was this. When I finished and stood up, the blood just went from my head and I fainted. In the middle of the gym. That's really bad, isn't it? To faint in the gym. No one wants to faint in the gym. I came round, I stood up, I fainted again. So what are we doing in our lives? Are we rowing? Are we rowing really hard? In our spiritual rowboat, often we do our best to row against the tide and the current, and we struggle even to stay still. Sometimes we're being pushed backwards, so we row harder. The book that I was reading this in was focusing on the Lord's Prayer. And it said, what the Lord's Prayer is then, is taking the oars out of the water and raising the sail in anticipation of the sure wind of the gospel of the kingdom. And the words, take the oars out of the water, really spoke to me. It struck me, it made me pause and think about this. Am I rowing frantically when I should be taking the oars out of the water? And was I in a spiritual sense back in that gym on the rowing machine, close to fainting but still doing my best anyway? Perhaps tonight there are some of you who need to take the oars out of the water. Would you do that? Would you take the oars out of the water? Perhaps for a moment you could close your eyes and imagine yourself in that rowboat. And you know what it's like in your life, and you know the strains and the struggles. And you know how much effort you've been putting into this. But perhaps tonight you simply need to take the oars out of the water. Can you see it? You stop rowing. You lift the oars. The water drips from them. You catch your breath. And you rest. But you notice on this boat, there are no ropes or pulleys. So how do we raise the sail? By prayer. It's prayer that lifts the sail so that we can catch the wind of the Spirit. So we mustn't make the mistake of switching our effort from rowing to pulling on ropes and pulleys to raise the sail. It's not a matter of our effort, but trusting prayer. And when you look back over the last few days of your spiritual life, have you been doing more rowing than sailing? And when you consider your prayers over the last few days, how high has the sail risen? Are you praying to raise those sails? Or are you just doing everything in your own effort? I think it becomes a problem for us when we exhaust ourselves rowing and neglect to prayerfully raise the sails. Part of our problem with the Holy Spirit could be that we're so busy rowing, we're not allowing Him to act. The breeze of the Spirit is already blowing, but we're missing it because we're not prayerfully raising the sails of faith to trust in His power to propel us in God's wind. Well, if by prayer we tune into the Holy Spirit, if by prayer we press allow change in our lives, if by prayer we take the oars out of the water and raise the sail, how are you doing? How are you doing? Tonight, if you want to tune in, allow change, or raise the sails, then we invite you to come and receive prayer. And I encourage you to take that step of faith and commitment. In prayer, we will help. We will help you to get in tune with the Spirit. In prayer, we'll pray with you to take the oars out of the water, to raise the sail, to catch the breeze, the power of the Spirit. There may be other specific things you would like prayer for. Maybe you would like prayer for healing. And we're happy to pray for you for healing. Perhaps it's reconciliation with friends or family, or help to overcome an addiction or a temptation. Maybe you're facing difficulties in relationships and family life, or seeking direction or needing rest. Or maybe you're feeling a call to ministry. Maybe you're feeling a call to mission. And you want a closer touch of the Holy Spirit, that sense of guidance and direction. We're happy to pray with you tonight for all manner of things that you may need prayer for, or just simply want someone to stand alongside you in prayerfulness and support. In order to receive the Holy Spirit, it may be that some need to just take an initial step of repentance and asking God for forgiveness. For you can't be filled with the Spirit before you turn to the Lord. And if you want us to pray for that, that God would forgive you, that you could find freedom in Christ, then we can help you with that prayer. Today, if you hear His voice, if you sense God calling, then come to Him. So I'm going to invite the prayer team to come forward and the music team to come forward. We're going to have a time of ministry with song, time of prayerfulness, where if you want to come forward and receive prayer, our prayer team will pray with you. Holy Spirit, come. Bring the presence of God to our hearts. Touch us with your love. Inspire our faith. Heal us. Make us whole. All this to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.